All right, so if we can turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and had been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
All right. Thank you so much, Paul. As always, great job, and I appreciate it. And we're going to be kind of referring to a couple of verses of scripture that Paul just read from 1 Thessalonians. So if you'd like to, you can keep your kind of finger there. We'll get back to it, but also it will be on the screen. So we just want to kind of make sure that we are honoring God's word as we say, and make sure that it is the cornerstone of each thing that we speak about here. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about Labor Day, honoring God with our work. And how many of you guys are off for Labor Day? Are all of you guys off for Labor Day? Okay, all right. Almost everybody is off for Labor Day, and this is a good thing. Isn't it kind of ironic that on Labor Day you don't have to labor, but every other day that's not Labor Day, you know, I don't know, whatever. But I do want to talk a little bit about the idea and the concept of Labor Day and just the idea and concept of putting honor on the work that we do. Because a lot of us, we don't really seem to value work all the time. I think we are desperate whenever we don't have a job or something of that nature, and we're like, the Lord has provided a job for me. But if you're like most people, that kind of comes along and gets to be the point where you're like, okay, well, now it's just become almost a drudgery, and it's hard to remember that it was a blessing at one time. You guys know what I'm talking about? And so I just want to share with you that the Word of God tells us that God honors work and that He wants us to work. And the crazy thing is if you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect, well, there was the fall that happened. But even before the fall, God actually put Adam and Eve to work. Not just simply because of the fall, they have to work. As a matter of fact, if you go back and look very closely, because of their fall into sin, God cursed the work of their hands, but He had already put them to work before the fall ever came about. So work is a good and a godly thing. And so I want to just share a little bit about what that might look like in our lives as Christians, and I'm going to do my very best to do it pretty quickly because I know I'm up against the food out there, and especially Like, it's really tough, I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel good, I'm like getting your attention, we're together, we're like making this move in the Word of God and this message or whatever, and then the food starts kind of wafting in, and I'm like, all right, I lost them, you know. I think I lost my place too, you know, at that point. So we just want to kind of go through some things a little shorter on a holiday weekend. But let's go ahead and go to our next slide, and as we do, let's just do this with this something to learn. And this is Martin Luther, the great reformer who began the Protestant denominations that we know. Here's what he said. It's very interesting. I'd never heard this. He said, Jesus instructed his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So consider how many people and jobs are actually involved in God answering that one prayer. There's a farmer who plants and waters and harvests grain. There's a miller who grinds the grain into flour. There's someone who produces the oil. There's someone who transports the materials. There's a baker. There is a grocer who sells the bread. And all of these people, as they just simply do their jobs, are contributing to the answering of this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And aren't you glad that those people are doing their job? I mean, ultimately, as we look around, we want to honor God's, not only his directive and his plan for us, but we also just want to make sure that we don't get into the twisted trap that a lot of people do, and that is that, well, you know, if you're a pastor, then you have a calling, and then if you're a worker, then you have a job. You see what I'm saying? That's not right. That's not right. That ultimately, at the end of the day, we all have a calling. We're all supposed to be on mission. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul when he came and met these Thessalonians. Here, just a moment ago, when Paul read the scripture, he told them, he said, I worked among you so that you wouldn't be burdened to take care of me financially. And so when that happened, what he was doing was he was going into town to town to town, and as he would arrive there, he would probably put out a shingle, so to speak, and begin to be a tent maker selling leather goods. But I promise you, whenever you ask, what are you, Paul? Like, what do you do for work? You know, what is your job? What is your calling? What is your vocation? He would say, I am the Apostle Paul. And he said, and I also make leather goods, right? You know? And so I think that's the way that we have gotten it twisted around. You ask people, what do you do? And they'll tell you, well, I'm an architect, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a, you know, a nurse, or whatever. And all of those are good things. But if we kind of end there in our own mind, then we have forgotten that we all have a calling to do something on mission for God. We talked about this last week about how we are all called to make a difference and how we are all called to be on mission. Now, I have a feeling you guys are with me. Can I get a good amen? All right, very good. And so as you look at this, I want to just share with you, we need to make sure that we are elevating every single person who is doing what God has called, equipped, and opened a door and provided an opportunity for them to do. I promise you, if all of us were up here trying to preach a message, we'd have a problem, right? I mean, we got only one microphone, and then nobody'd be out there. Like, if you really stop and think about it, the things that we kind of almost default to, well, the really important things are missionaries and pastors. No. Every single one of us, if we're doing what God has called us to do, open the door of opportunity for us to do, if we're doing God's will, then we are living on mission and doing what we are called to do. Can I get a good amen on that as well? All right, very good. So let's keep moving here. And as we do, let's go to this next slide. And as you see this next slide here, don't miss this. Your private walk with God is sacred. Now, how many of you guys believe that? Do you believe that your private walk with God is sacred? It is, right? But as you keep going and you go to this next slide as well, you see here, and so is your public work. Now, can you still raise your hand and believe that? Because for most of us, we feel like kind of what we do is different than who we are. But in a lot of ways, what God is telling us is that they are combined and they're connected. We usually agree with the first half of the statement and then live as if we do not believe the second half. And so we've got to be careful that we say, you know what, God, you've called me to do some things that are out in the public sector and they're not in the sacred sector, but it is still sacred work. And that's important that we grasp it. Now, I'm having a little problem here. I don't know. I think it might. Yeah. Thank you, sir. So something else to learn. When Paul wrote to the believers in Thessalonica, he warns them over and over again not to be idle, but to get out there and work. Basically, what was happening It looks like the people in Thessalonica heard Paul teaching about the second coming. And when they heard it, they were so convinced that it was happening that they thought it was happening like in 12 hours. You know what I mean? And so because of that, they said, well, if he's coming in 12 hours, I may as well just go ahead and quit my job. I don't need to keep working. And Paul said, hey, these people, most of them have never even heard of what a Christian looks like. And all that they're seeing is a bunch of Christians that have quit working and are sitting around idle and being busybodies rather than staying busy and on task and on mission. He said, you're doing it wrong. Now, be very clear, God's coming can happen, but it's happening a little later than you seem to think, so stay busy. And by the way, even if the Lord were to come back today, and I knew that he was coming back today, which I don't, okay? I do not know when he is coming back. The Bible says that no one knows. But ultimately, when he comes back, I don't want him to come back and find me with my feet propped up and saying, well, I've been waiting for a while. I thought you'd get here earlier. I want to be running through the tape at the end of this life. And I'm just going to tell you flat out, man, I'm more passionate than I've ever been since I had my heart attack last year. Because I'm realizing, you know, it used to just be I took for granted that I would always be able to do whatever I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, dude, you're old. And so I got to slow myself down a little bit and go, well, now am I doing stuff that actually matters or was I just staying busy? Right? And so I am more convinced and I am more passionate than I have ever been that I want to run through the tape. And when God comes back and sends his son, if I'm still here and alive, I want him to find me being busy and doing work, not like the Thessalonians thought to just put up my feet and be idle. And so this is important, all right? I think you guys got it. We're going to keep moving. Let's go to our next slide. And this is our big idea. Your work is your witness. Your work is your witness. And here's what Paul was saying to the Thessalonians. He said, not only do you know who I am and what I'm all about because you saw me, you saw the way that I worked while I was among you, he was also telling them, don't be idle because if you do, people that don't know what it's about to be a Christian are going to just assume that you're, you know, saved and you're different, but you're no longer involved in the real world anymore. Are y'all with me? You understand? And so he's saying you're giving them a false impression of what Christ wants us to do. And so he's telling them, my work among you was my witness to you. Your work is your witness. And that is true. Now, I want to just slow down for just a minute here and go a little deeper. That ultimately, if you are a person who is known as a Christian at work, I want to applaud that and I want to say good job. But I also want you to know that you are now on the hook to be a good worker. Is this thing on? Hello? Test one, test. I'm just saying, because ultimately, why? Why? Because if they believe that you're a Christian, then they believe that you are going to do all things as unto the Lord. And so they see that you're a Christian and then you slack off, or especially if you're working for a Christian boss, and you go in there and you say, I'm a Christian. They're like, oh boy, here we go again. They're going to ask for all of the things, you know, for them to like be allowed to do all of the things that nobody ought to be able to do and still keep a job. But they're going to fall back on the fact that I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, you got to do this for me. We can't do that. We cannot do that. Ultimately, we have to come back and say, okay, then if they know that I'm a Christian, that's a good thing. But now I'm on the hook to be a person who honors his work as a sacred responsibility from the Lord. My work is my witness. All right. So let's say this together on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Your work is your witness. Now let's make it personal on the count of three. One, two, three. My work is my witness. All right. Very good. Let's keep going here. All right. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. I've talked a little bit about it. Now I want you to see it in the flesh. I want you to see exactly what the word is saying. We never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor was it coming with a pretext for greed, and God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, that we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our very own selves, because you had become very dear to us. The way I've said it in our Bible study on 1 Thessalonians is, I believe that these guys were fast friends. They came together. Paul was only in Thessalonica about 4 weeks, as best we can tell, and then he was run out of town, and he was almost thrown into jail. He had been thrown into jail in Philippi right before he got to Thessalonica, and so he didn't want to repeat that. It was a bad pattern that kept showing back up, and so he ran from town rather than getting thrown in jail and ending his second missionary journey. And so as you look at this, what is he saying? He's saying, we came to you, we started preaching. And just as sure as you know who we are and how we acted among you, you know we didn't come to you and ask you to give us a bunch of money, put us up in your house. We had our own money. We were taking care of our own needs. The only thing we were there to do was make sure that you had heard about Jesus Christ. And if you hadn't, we wanted to tell you. And if you have, we wanted to show you what it looked like to be his disciple. And so you can hear it right there in all of this scripture. Now, everything I just said is a paraphrase. It's a Puckett paraphrase. It's a New Texas version, whatever you want to say. But that is what he's trying to convey to them. And so then he keeps going. He says, you've become very dear to us. And as we go to the next slide and you see what else is going on there, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day so that we might not be a burden to any of you. While we proclaim to you the gospel of God, you were a witness, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you, the believers. So in other words, he was saying, if he could put it in a big idea, if Paul were so inclined, he said, my work was my witness. That's where I got that. That's why I'm sharing that with you. I believe that your work is your witness. And the more that you are a person who says, the Lord has provided this for me, I am grateful for this, and the Lord has got a thing for me to do while I am here. The more we do that and the more we see our work as a calling and not just simply a job, then things change and we become people who can make a change and a difference and make an impact. Okay, let's keep moving here. We're just moving on. Don't miss this. If every job is sacred, see it as a provision from God and not just monetarily. God is providing you a lot of things, not just simply the monetary side of things. Okay, and so as we go to the next slide as well, I want to share this. If every job is sacred, see those who do jobs that serve you as possessing dignity and worthy of your respect, your concern, and your kindness. Do I need to read that last part again? Because that's one of those things that we don't always do a great job. I'm going to see if maybe one of these will work for me, Colin. I see. It's just one of those days. I thought we had that all worked out, but we'll see. Okay. As we keep going here and talking more, let's just imagine that the cable guy comes. Have any of y'all had that cable guy come? How long was the window? How long was the window? It's like, yeah, we'll be there between sometime when the sun comes up and then 12 a.m., you know, like we'll be there probably before 11:59, to be honest. We'll probably be there before then. No promises, but just know sometime in about a 23-hour period, we'll be there, right? And so they come to the door, and you're like, you set a four-hour window, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you know, and all that stuff, right? And so, I mean, how many of you guys can imagine being that guy who probably is battling Houston traffic, and everything went bad on the last place he was, and he comes there, and he comes to your door, and you start griping at him because he's made you wait 3 hours, and he's like, I would love to tell you off, but I've got to have this job, right? And so then he says to you, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I got here as quick as I could. I promise the things that happened to me at the last job were totally unexpected. I had to make a couple of extra trips, and because of that, it threw me into traffic. I really would have been here, I think, but things just went really sideways, and it's not really anything that I could have helped, and I'm sorry. And then you know, you're like, well, you know, you got the bad attitude. And then he says, and I got here so fast that I didn't have a chance to stop for the restroom. So is it possible for me to just like step into your restroom real quick? And then you're like to yourself, you're like, you know, right next to my restroom is that thing that says, I love Jesus and I love people, you know, and you're like, this is not necessarily the best thing for him to see right now because I'm not sure it actually matches with the way that I've greeted him, right? Okay, all right, it's just me. That's fine. It's just me. I don't know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm saying? These people are just out there like you and me trying to make a living. Even those terrible, terrible, terrible people who have to be on the telemarketing end. Oh, that, I knew it got real quiet then. It got real quiet then. They're not bad people, are they? They're just people who, I mean, nobody ever said to them, you know what, you when you grow up, one day you need to aspire to be a telemarketer. They got that job because that's the only thing that they could make through. It's probably a stopgap for them to get to whatever they want to do. And then we treat them sometimes like they're subhuman, all because they interrupted me doing, I don't know if I was doing anything, but I'm frustrated anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that ultimately, everybody's got to make a living and everybody's out there trying to do what it takes to make ends meet. And wouldn't it be a good thing if we were a breath of fresh air instead of a condemnation to other people? See, because ultimately, we don't want somebody at our job treating us like we're subhuman, like we're there to be subservient to them because they're the customer or whatever. So I just wanted to call that out because ultimately, like, wouldn't it be great if you showed up at the restaurant in your EHC shirt, you know, and they ask you, well, what is EHC? You know, what is Eagle Heights or what is the Eagle that you got going there? And you told them that was your church and it's right down the road and I'd love for you to come. And they became a part of this church family because they said, you know what, they treated me so kindly. They treated me with such dignity and respect. I believe that they might actually care about me instead of just whether or not my water glass was filled in time. There are a lot of people that are working on jobs that are making them do things that are putting them in a position where they don't like it, but they're having to do it to get through at the moment. So I would just encourage us. Did any of y'all ever have to do that? Did any of y'all have a job like that at least once in your life? Again, is it just me? I mean, I used to have to carry groceries. Like, I that was my very first job. And when it was a pretty girl, I didn't mind. But every other time, I was like, it's Oklahoma heat and a lot of heavy groceries to carry, you know? You do what you got to do to make ends meet. And guess what? I learned a lot of things there. I really did. I learned a lot of things. Beechler's IGA, if you are old school and you remember back when IGA was a grocery store. And I don't regret that one bit. Why? Because it made me a better person. It made me have to think about other people and serve other people. All right, let's keep moving because I am going to keep it short. So revitalize your view of work. Work is, first of all, transformed by our why. Now, before we go to a next slide, I want to ask you an honest question, and I want you guys to kind of literally raise your hand, okay? Now, if you were to hear that somebody had a job filling sandbags, just one after the other, one bag of sand, one bag of sand, one bag of sand, that doesn't necessarily sound very heroic, does it? It just sounds like a job. Let me ask you a question. Take a look at this. Now, is it heroic? Why? It's just the why. The only thing that changed is the why. So for you and me, if we look at our jobs and we say, well, I'm here to meet the bills. I'm here to just be here because I've got to pay the bills and keep the lights on and keep food on the table, then it probably will always feel like a drudgery to you. And you know what? The people that you deal with, whether they be coworkers or customers, they will probably always feel like it's a drudgery to you. And you're here for the paycheck and they got it. Got it. Understood. Know where you're coming from. Know the page you're on. Fine. You understand? But the minute that you say, you know what, I want to give my all and I want to learn some things while I'm here. I don't know that I'll be here for forever, but as long as I'm here, I want to be a benefit to this company. I want to make the bills and all that stuff, but I also want to learn some things and grow. And I want to be better and I want the company to be better when I'm done. That sounds like a lot more of a God-honoring thing, isn't it? Why? The only thing that changed is the attitude and the reason why you're doing it. Instead of just simply, I'm here to meet the bills and make sure I've got food on the table. And so I just want to encourage us to not get kind of twisted around on our whys. Ultimately, we are called to be on mission. And if we're going to be making a difference in the world, we've got to be on mission, not just when we're in here in these walls, but out there with our kids and our families, with our communities and our neighbors, but also, especially, with our jobs and the people that we work with. Let's keep moving here. Let's go to our next slide. So, revitalize your view of work. Work is transformed by our why. If we have that right, it changes everything. Secondly, it's a place that is making you a better person. Every time that you and I have to do something that we don't want to do, it makes us a better person. It really does, because it makes us make a sacrifice if we can keep the right attitude. And so I just encourage you to realize that work is probably making you do some things that you'd prefer not to do, but in the long run, it will probably make you a better person in the end. And let's keep moving to our next slide here as we do. Any of y'all ever heard of this before or seen this? It's way too people-y in here. You know, this is our kind of our cry in our modern world, you know? Like, I love Jesus, but keep those people away from me, right? It's almost like there's something in the scriptures about us not being able to love the God that we haven't seen, you know, and yet hate his children who we have. I don't have it perfect, but I think it's in there. And so it might be cool in the modern day to be like, I'm not too much for people. Well, I'm glad that Jesus didn't have that attitude. And I would challenge us that maybe since he didn't, we shouldn't either. We should realize that even when we're dealing with people and it's hard, it's making us better, but it is also bridging a gap for us to reach out and be somebody who can encourage others and be a part of God's family in a different way. All right, let's keep moving here. Third thing, your work is your on-mission mission field. I would say that probably for most of us, the best place for us to look around for those who are not Christians or those who are not a Christ follower in any way, or those who have drifted in a long ways, you know, this is probably the best place for you to look is the people that you work with. And so I encourage you to look at it and say, well, I can view my work as a drudgery, something I have to do, or I could look at it and say, you know what? God said work is sacred, and it's going to make me a better person. And you know what? I'm around a lot of people that give me opportunities to speak about what God has done in my life and what he can do in theirs. You begin to look at it in that way, and things change pretty dramatically. Now, I'm just about ready to move on. If I could get a good amen, I think I'm ready to keep moving. All right, so let's go. Let's go to this last thing here. Here's some great compliments for a worker. Now, I'm not going to ask you this question. You don't have to respond to it. But I have a feeling that most of us don't have a lot of people walking up to us and saying, you know, I'm really glad that you're the worker that I got a hold of today. We just don't have that happening very often. But wouldn't it be nice if we were those people? Like, I'm really glad I had you helping me today. If somebody's smiling at the register at HEB or they're nice when they come and bring your groceries out or whatever it is, it'd be really nice for you to just look them in the eye and say, you know what? I'm really glad you were the one helping me today. It's been a pleasure. Like, and I mean, I promise you that will change the path of their day. You are really very good at your job. Now, have any of y'all ever had that been, has that ever been told to you? That will change your attitude. A good compliment will keep me going for about 3 weeks. Can I get an amen? So if somebody came to me and said, you know what, you are really very good at your job, I think I would be like, what? I mean, I'm ready to hear it. You clearly care about doing a good job, so thank you. Or, you know, you mentioned you're having a tough day. Can I pray for you by name when I pray later? Can I do that? I mean, like all of these things are what I call spiritual tide turners. They step into the room and the temperature changes spiritually because they're making an effort. I think these things are ways that we can reach people who probably are at a low point sometimes and nobody around but just to throw dirt on them and then occasionally somebody there to lift them up. I think that should be us, especially as Christians. Let's keep moving to our next slide, and I'm just about done. Here's your I apply by. Treat your work as your witness. Give your all, see it as your on-mission mission field, and then treat others with dignity and respect, especially how you treat them as they are working. Why? Because they're like, man, I got to be here, and I got to put up with all these people treating me all of these terrible ways because I can't give up this job. It would be great if she got to know that the reason that you came in and had a different attitude than what she's had to deal with is because you're a Christian and you care because God cares. And so I just want to encourage you Not only is it an opportunity for us to see our work as sacred, but also to be a blessing to those that their work brings them in contact with us. I think that would change a lot in our community and change a lot for us if we began to see work for ourselves and for others a little differently. We started living as if work was truly our witness. Let's check out this video.
All right, in case nobody's told you lately, you're doing a good job. Not just a good job, a great job. But on this Labor Day, on the day when we're offered some rest, just know that what you're doing matters to this world, to this community, to your family. See, the day-to-day jobs of this world, they do the extraordinary work of making a community what it is. Whether you teach, or heal, or coach, or fix, whether you design, or write, or pastor, or manage, serve others, shepherd people, every single day, we all step into this world and do our thing. What makes everyday life move forward are people just like you. And that is the way God intended it. So, keep doing your quiet, unnoticed, everyday work. One day at a time. Now, go and get some rest.